Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Democrats are putting pressure on Wiener to resign. Portland's homeless are creating a skid row of boats. And a teenager is sexually assaulted by an Ewok.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, brace your innards, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, June 9th, 2011. Some of Portland's homeless have left the streets to sleep on the Willamette River in boats. Lieutenant Brett Elliott of the Multnomah County Marine Patrol says, "It's what you would see on Skid Row, but Skid Row has moved to the water." About 15 vessels now bob along the East Bank Esplanade in the South Waterfront Bank. Authorities said the floating homeless camp started appearing about 2 years ago because of the economy.
Since when can the homeless afford boats?
I have no idea.
I can't even fill up my car sometimes.
And they're not really homeless if they're living on a boat, are they? I mean,
no,
that's a home,
just,
isn't it?
No, they're just houseless.
Yes. Most of the vessels don't have working engines anymore, and none of them are actually used for marine recreation. Patrol officers said the owners either find abandoned boats or buy one on the cheap and then move aboard without ever having to pay rent as long as they keep floating on the river.
So what makes it a boat? Is it just a plank that they're sleeping on? Is it like a door that's just sort of floating, kind of vaguely tethered to the land?
Maybe. Although that would be more of like a mini barge, wouldn't it?
I'm trying to get a handle on what we're talking about here. I'm trying to figure out whether or not I should be filled with just irritation or annoyance or just actual seething envy.
I applaud their ingenuity because apparently it's mostly legal. Boats can't stay in place for more than 30 days, but if they just keep moving the boat, they don't have to pay rent.
So it's just like a boat that they found just sitting like at Fred Sanford's, you know, junk shop.
Yeah.
And it just didn't actually have an engine, couldn't actually go anywhere, couldn't really be navigated to any demonstrable degree.
At the dollar boat store in Gresham or something. Part of the problem is most of these boats don't have bathrooms.
Ah.
Yes, so the people who live in them often use the shoreline instead.
Okay,
and dump their trash in the river. So I guess the story is a story because we are now going to have to find a way to crack down on people who are living on boats.
Because we might bespoil the wonderful jewel that is the Willamette River.
Yes, the crystalline shore, the crystalline waters of this toxic sewage stew that we live on.
Okay. Yes. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. It is Thursday, June 9th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, also science on the march. If you want to get this program later on, today you can do it via iTunes, also as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. And the Rick Emerson Show coming up next hour, featuring a snuff watch, clown watch, and a top five. That is all on the way next hour at Rick Emerson Show. .com, where we are joined today by a brand new subscriber, Kenneth. Subscriber Kenneth Zervas. Zervas. Zervs.
Zervies?
Zervies. At least in Aurora, Illinois. Aurora, Oregon. Where is Aurora, Oregon?
It's between here and Salem. It's a tiny little town. It was actually, I believe, the first incorporated settlement in this part of Oregon. It's mostly full of antique stores.
Okay, so it's from Oregon Territory.
Yeah, I know this because I used to drive this back road when I worked in Salem, and I would drive this sort of back road home sometimes when I didn't want to drive in the freeway, and it would go through Aurora, which is just a lovely, picturesque little town that just mainly has old white sideboard houses and lots of antique shops.
By the way, I'm looking at it now, and it's not even so much that his name is Kenneth. His name is Kenth. K-E-N-N-T-H.
It sounds like his entire name is lacking some vowels.
Yeah.
Both first and last.
So, Kenneth Zervas, thank you for joining us as
is
part of the...
Is he from another planet?
It's entirely possible. It doesn't really specify. We don't actually ask for homeworld because we figured that is none of our business. Really, as long as you can pay us, we don't even really care. Doesn't matter. Citizen, non-citizen, got the money legally, got the money by stealing from orphans. I don't really care. You could steal from that little jar for the blind they have. I don't really care.
We can start doing more non-Earth news if it appeals to the demographic.
If that's what the people want. We're just a conduit. We're simply here to lighten the load of our listeners, whatever they might ask for. So if you would like to become a listener of the Rick Emerson Show, you could do that for a mere 32 cents a day. And you can find out more about that at rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com, where at the moment, unless things have changed, and I don't believe they have, let me just double check here real quickly, a little bit of business. We were experiencing just the slightest bit of downtime with the Rick Emerson Show archives this morning, but I do believe they are back up as of now. So looking now, the Rick Emerson Show archives are back online, so there you go. It is Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here he is, Don Taylor.
Scandal-scarred Representative Anthony Weiner is clinging to his seat in Congress despite new efforts to pry him away.
He's gripping. His hand is encircling his office.
Yes, he is. No. And a pair of developments that might inspire others in his position to give up the fight. A newly released X-rated photo that Weiner purportedly took of himself has turned up on the Internet. And his wife of less than a year is pregnant. The baby on the way complicated an already ominous forecast for the 46-year-old congressman, who admitted on Monday that he had tweeted sexually charged photos and messages to six women he did not know, then lied about it to his wife, his family, and his constituents.
Also, his wife is touring the world with Hillary Clinton right now, and so you gotta imagine she's giving her advice of the most direct and blunt variety.
I imagine there's a lot of late nights of the two of them just sitting on a couch, drinking whiskey, neat, maybe smoking big cigars, and just going,
"Goddamn men!
Men! I tell ya." Weiner has refused to resign as more embarrassing details have emerged about his online communications with at least six women. Jeanette Cordova, recipient of the photo of Weiner's crotch in gray underwear that began the furor, said it was such a startling turn in an online conversation, mostly in support of his politics, that she assumed the message was fake. "I have never sent him any suggestive messages," said the 21-year-old college student from Washington State. And Lisa Weiss, a 40-year-old blackjack dealer from Las Vegas, said her online banter with Weiner began flirtatiously, but he escalated it to graphic comments. She spoke with Jim Moret of Inside Edition.
"You call this flirting, but this was very explicit sexual talk."
"Yes, I know."
"Did he ever send you a photo?"
No.
"What would you say to the congressman's wife?"
"I feel very, very bad for talking to her husband in a way that I shouldn't have."
Well, she really sounds like a blackjack dealer, doesn't she? Where would you...
How did he end up talking to a 46-year-old blackjack dealer?
Well, 40 years old.
40-year-old blackjack dealer.
Online.
But I mean, in other words, did she know who he was? If this was on, was this on Twitter as well, or was this just...
I don't know.
Out there in the ether somewhere.
I really have no... I mean, back in the day, back in the olden times, when I remember I was on AOL, and you would go into chat rooms, and then someone would send you an IM, and then you would talk to them, and you would meet people that way. I have no idea how you meet strangers via, say, Facebook.
I don't think people go into chat rooms much anymore.
No,
no, they don't. Chat rooms really exist.
I don't know how you would escalate someone following you on Twitter to, like, you know, flirty conversation. I'm old. I have no idea how to make time, as we said when I was a youth. Yeah, in this modern age.
And if she's a blackjack dealer, she's probably not in New York. I mean, she could be in Atlantic City, I suppose.
Well, she's from Las Vegas.
She's from Las Vegas. Okay, so if she's in Las Vegas and he's in New York.
Yeah.
If she's not a constituent, so there's no real reason she would have been following him on Twitter. So maybe it would have been on Facebook, except the whole point of Facebook is that it's not just random people. They've got to at least be a friend of a friend. That's the whole thing. So I can't imagine how their paths would have crossed on the internet, because there's a lot of people on the... on the internet these days. There's many, many people there. And so it just seems, I'm wondering how it is, what is the chain of connections that led him to her, and then, hey, here's my penis.
I mean, I guess I'm thinking about, you know, my own Facebook stuff, and we have listeners, and I have people that I know through, like, film criticism that I've never met, but I've kind of known for a few years online, and they will occasionally say something, you know, ribald on the Facebook. And I guess if I was that sort of person, I could then respond with a direct message, which would be a private conversation, and we could start, you know, chatting or something. But
that's probably not the case here, because there was no public. He hadn't. In other words, this was all private conversation. It wasn't like he had a history of saying things that were sort of saucy on Facebook. This is presumably a thing that just started with direct.
Well, maybe she did. She could have responded to something that he had posted, and then he saw her picture and went, "Hey, attractive lady," and then he direct messaged her. And
so then my question is, like, was she then a friend of a friend? Like, and I'm not saying we're going to figure this all out right here.
Well,
I'm sure that there is an answer to it somewhere.
Well, you're a public figure of sorts, and you have a lot of people who follow you on Facebook that are not actually personal friends of personal friends.
Well, maybe, I guess. Although, if I was just going to start sending pictures of my weenus out, I think that I would maybe go a few degrees beyond that immediate social circle. But then again, I'm...
The first step is to not call it a weenus.
I suppose.
I think.
Well, that's sort of... Here's the thing about calling it. That is sort of a self-regulatory system, because that ensures that no woman actually wants to have conversations with me.
Would you like to see my weenus?
And she said, no.
She has logged off.
No, I think I'm going to find someone who's not 10, but thanks. Thanks all the same. All right. Keeps me honest.
Weiner's fellow Democrats from the White House on down have left little doubt they want him to reconsider his refusal to leave office. Pennsylvania Representative Allison Schwartz said in a statement,
"Schwartz,
having the respect of your constituents is fundamental for a member of Congress." She added, "In light of Anthony Weiner's offensive behavior online, he should resign." Internet expert Michael Furtick.
How do you get that job?
I don't know.
Internet expert.
I could do that. I could be an internet expert. I've been using it for a long time. I know how to use the Google. I'm an expert.
Is that a thing you just call yourself and then you just book yourself on talk shows?
I think so.
Awesome. Going to get me some of that money.
Internet expert Michael Furtick explains why Weiner was a ticking time bomb.
There was no kind of silver bullet that undid him. It was the repeated behavior over many touch points with, it seems, more than one woman. Any individual, one of which, would have been enough to leak and to cause a problem.
There's no actual insight in that statement, by the way. Nor is there any revelation of anything we didn't already know or couldn't piece together ourselves, just FYI.
Whenever I read something like this, by the way, when somebody calls them, you know, fill in the blank here, expert, and they've been called upon for some kind of a soundbite, I always think about back when I worked in newspapers and I had received a press kit from a guy who called himself Mr. Barbecue and basically said that, you know, if you ever have any questions about barbecue, if you're doing a story about barbecue, he would be the guy to call, and he actually even sent out a pre-printed Rolodex card.
To go right in there in case,
to put
under
in there,
B.
Under B, Mr. Barbecue. So whenever I see somebody like this, I just wonder if that's the case. He sent out all of these things, all these media outlets saying, internet expert, and somebody just jammed it in there under I.
And so, so when Phil, who's 75 years old at the copy desk, decides that they need a quote for the piece, they can just...
Who knows about the internet?
Let's see. Is that in the Rolodex? Internet? Ah, this guy. Excellent.
Furtick warns that while Wiener may be a high-profile example, no one is exempt.
Similar things can happen to anybody. You don't have to be married and perhaps missing a little bit of judgment to have a mistake made or be setting up a time bomb for yourself.
I'm wondering how long until we see some sort of weird, like some viral marketing campaign for a film or for a record album or something that is done in the guise of being an internet scandal. That'll be the next thing. See, I shouldn't even be giving this away. This should be like marketing expert Rick Emerson, you know, is willing to sell you this idea. And that would be, but it would be like a huge, it would be like, let's say, for example, it wasn't 2011. Let's say it was 1998. And with the Wesley Snipes movie, One Night Stand. What was that movie? Was it One Night Stand? What was the Wesley Snipes film? One Night?
I don't know.
Wesley Snipes did a sort of like a Fatal Attraction type film. And it was in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And I forget, but it was like he was a business traveler from L.A. and he's in New York and he hooks up with some hoe. And it's like they knock it out for a night. And then it's like, and then she turns out either he's crazy or she's crazy or she has a crazy boyfriend. Or something happens. I think it might be called Just One Night.
Isn't one of those things where he sleeps with her and then they blackmail him? Or am I thinking of something else?
Something. It was some, you know, pork the chick he shouldn't have and then it all goes wrong. But imagine if a film like that was coming out now, or like that Idris Elba film that came out last year where it was like a Fatal Attraction type deal. The marketing campaign, starts with like some guy online who doesn't, of course, really exist. You know, and then it's a whole lot of like he inadvertently says yes. So I'll meet you at the tee for a round, and then we'll talk about the Jenkins contract. Then later on he says, okay, that's great. I got to stop off and get the car washed, and then we'll meet to go over the plans for tomorrow's conference meeting. And then later he's like, here's a picture of my penis. And then later, oh, please disregard. And then you would have responses back from the woman to Twitter saying, in case, by the way, you've been contacted by my husband on Twitter and he showed you his penis, please contact me because I'm going to be filing for divorce. Everybody in the internet is watching the whole scandal unfold. Oh, my God, did you see this guy? He was just talking about dry cleaning and then a picture of his penis. Then, oh, my God, you'll never guess. Then his wife responded on Twitter and she's looking for people who've received the penis pictures because she's filing for divorce. And then secretly, all to promote a Wesley Snipes film.
That's awesome. That is amazing.
There you go.
That is
a freebie from Rick Emerson.
That is something.
Okay.
So, do you think Law and Order had a guy showed his penis picture? Famous guy showed his penis picture. Sent somebody a penis picture yet?
Because
they always just steal things for their baldly steal things and change the guy's name by like one letter.
I'm sure that they must just have a guy who sits in the basement and watches TV and just like in the. In that movie, Crimes and Misdemeanors, where Alan Alda is the TV producer, and he's always got the little mini cassette recorder, and he always just stops in the middle of public place and goes, idea for a series. Hopeless loser has to move in with successful brother. Hijinks ensue. And they click. And they must just have a guy like that.
Well, just and also, you know, I have these Law and Order episodes where, like, you know, a black NBA player, you know, is murdered after cheating on his wife. So they all have to find out what happened to Magical Johnstone.
His name is Bobby Cryant.
Yes. Yes. A tearful British teenager told how a dwarf actor who played a Star Wars Ewok fondled himself next to her on a train. The girl, 17 at the time, said Nicholas Reed touched himself under the bowler-style juggler's hat that he had rested on his lap. Reed, who's one of the furry warriors in Return of the Jedi and a goblin in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, carried on for 30 minutes after the 7:55 p.m. train left London's St. Pancras station. The girl was trapped against a window and did not say anything, she said, fearing he would touch her. She reported him when she reached Leicester. Reed, 40, of Cheadle, Stockport, was arrested at Sheffield station, asked why he had not put his hat in the luggage rack. He said he couldn't reach it.
Okay, well, that's a fair point. I mean, he is a dwarf.
Yes. He was convicted at Leicester Crown Court of indecent exposure. He will be sentenced next month and was told he could face a short jail term or suspended sentence.
A short jail term. Yeah. So he's an Ewok, and then he was also, by the way, I think I know who you're talking about, he was a Gringotts goblin.
Probably,
he was one
yeah.
of the guys who guarded Harry Potter's fortune.
Did he ever?
Did he ever. And then also apparently touches his penis in public.
Under a bowler hat.
Well, I mean,
if anyone ever does that
breeze,
to me, by the way, dwarf or not, and by the way, I can't think of anything more awesome that if somebody was going to, like, trap me on a train and fondle themselves, I would want it to be a dwarf.
An Ewok.
Even if it's not a dwarf, I'm just saying to potential sexual assaulters of Don Taylor, I want there to be a bowler hat involved.
It's called doing it jub-jub.
Or maybe a straw boater.
Excellent. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, June 9th, 2011. Coming up next hour, Snuff Watch, Clown Watch. We'll do a top five, which we pulled yesterday. I want to thank, by the way, Eric D. Snyder for filling in yesterday for Legion of News and the Rick Emerson Show.
He was quite excellent.
He was great.
As always.
He was fantastic. And he and Anna Griffin were both really, really good. We had a top five put together. We didn't really get to it. I don't know, because of something. Something that was like penis-oriented or something or other.
You did spend a lot of time talking about Wiener.
There was a lot of, well, to be fair.
A lot of Wiener talk.
Many of Anna's tweets yesterday, a lot of her Twitter updates were all about the Anthony Wiener thing. So I felt like she had sort of, like she'd given a tacit okay for that. So we never got to the top five yesterday, so we'll try to roll that out today. You can find out more about that at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
The latest bad economic news is making people angrier at lawmakers. This is farmer Carl Grooms saying he's tired of inaction.
I don't think they got a clue.
Okay, hold on.
Farmer Grooms.
Okay. Dadgummit. All right, hold on a second. Let's all brace ourselves.
I don't think they got a clue. They've never walked in the shoe of the common person. They've never been down here at the level. They've never had to wonder what they're going to eat tomorrow or where they're going to live or how they're going to get their fuel tank filled up.
He sounds,
wow.
Okay, he sounds like a, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like a bumpkin Clay Davis from The Wire.
Oh, he does a little bit.
Oh, my God. He just needs to do that and draw it on. Also, by the way, do you know that apparently the common man only has one shoe?
I don't think they got a clue. They've never walked in the shoe of the common person.
He sounds exactly like Tim Blake Nelson.
I don't think they got a clue.
Yeah,
they never walked in the shoe of the...
We thought you were a horny toad. Oh, that's wonderful.
We thought they turned into a toad.
That's great. I love this guy. What's his name?
Farmer Carl Grooms.
I love Carl Grooms. Oh. That's wonderful.
Well, this is teacher Harold Williams. He's probably not going to be nearly as entertaining. He's been looking for a job for weeks.
Pressure because you don't want your family to be without. They looked upon you to be a strong leader. And I don't want to let them down.
I don't think they got a clue. They've never walked in the shoe of the common person.
That's wonderful. Excellent.
I only got one shoe, so I know.
It's more of a hopping in the shoe of the common person.
Limping along in one shoe. Apparently, there's a word in the recent budget travel website. They say that Portland ranks among some of the most beautiful places in the world, and we also are apparently on the list of the 25 most photographed places on Earth.
And this is from where?
Budget travel.
Because we're also, there was that other thing that came out yesterday that we're the most patriotic city in America.
Oh, well.
So we're the most photographed, or one of the 20 most photographed cities in the world?
I mean, we're dead last on the list.
But we're
25.
20. Okay.
Number 25. But we are on a list with places like, you know, Venice and Milan and Madrid.
In your face, everybody.
Cornell University scientists data mined 35 million Flickr photos and discovered that people tend to photograph the same cities and that within each city there are certain landmarks that draw the most attention. In Milan, a Gothic cathedral called Duomo di Milano is the most photographed landmark. In Las Vegas, it's the Paris Las Vegas Hotel. And here in Portland, it's...
The sleeping form of art on the Alcazar at a bus stop.
Oh, if only.
Okay.
No, it's Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Ah.
I think particularly...
Is it the guy with the umbrella?
The guy with the umbrella. Yeah. People like that. And anyway, yeah, you can go to... I think KATU or somebody has a Flickr festival, things like that. But yes, people like to take pictures of us.
I would have imagined it would have been the... I would have thought it would have been the bridges. Because there's many of them here and everything. And
do we still have the Hung Far Low sign? I know that was a popular...
Well, they moved it. They have it, but they moved it to somewhere else. It exists. I don't know. They tore it down and then they stuck it. They stuck it up somewhere. I don't know. Okay, there you go.
Okay. Speaking of Portland, the Portland City Council unanimously approved extending health...
They what?
Unanimously. Uh-huh. Unanimously approved extending health benefits to city workers to include sex change surgery yesterday. Mayor Sam Adams said in a statement, "To the trans community of Portland, who each and every day make the city a better place, it is my honor and privilege to serve on a city council that can bring an ounce of fairness in return." Commissioner Amanda Fritz said, "I appreciate living in a city and serving on a city council where we look at what is the right thing to do, even if it's not politically popular." The city finance officials estimate the annual cost of the benefit to be about $32,000 more than the $41 million that's already spent on health care. Dan Saltzman said that's a small price to pay to help people live better lives. If you want to be entertained, by the way, go on to any of our local news websites.
A lot of informed, rational discussion taking place.
Pull up that story and then read the comments. There's a lot of really smart people weighing in on this.
Can I just say that, speaking of message boards, so, let's see, our good friend Sean Levy said something this morning. Let's see. He said something on Twitter, and the only reason I'm bothering to look it up is because I want to make sure that I say it exactly right, because if memory serves, he didn't actually specify what he was talking about. In other words, he didn't actually clarify what he was referring to when he said this. This is about 4 hours ago. Sean Levy says, "This is the totality of the Twitter message." He doesn't say anything else, and it wasn't in response to anything either. That's the other thing. It didn't look like he was. It was one of those like deliberately. I'm not picking on Sean Levy. I'm just saying this is it's like one of those deliberately vague messages where you want to reach through the screen and go, "What? What are you talking about?" Sean Levy says, "That one message board is arguably the worst place on earth, digital or otherwise. God, I'm glad it's behind me." And you want to go, well, where?
What does that
what
mean?
The hell are you talking about? So it's not like he's a guy who's just like vague for its own sake most of the time. So it's especially, but yet I won't lower myself to actually ask him because I feel like that's what he wants. I feel like he's
fishing.
Well, see, that's the thing is I feel like as a journalist, he realizes he feels it would be improper to identify the message board, so he's waiting for someone to ask him, so he can then say, well, in response to a query, I then provided a complete and total answer. But it's like he won't actually say it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be the one to ask.
Maybe, but Sean is also something of a power Twitterer at
times. He really
is. So it may just be one of those things where it was like in his head, so he just typed it out really fast and didn't really, you know, they'll know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't know.
People are just sending me links to 4chan. He wasn't talking about 4chan.
It's like when my husband says something like, "Where's that fork?" And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he just looks at me and goes, "You know, the fork." Like, I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I got nothing.
He just figures that, you know, we share one brain, so I should just know.
That's okay. You know, my wife does things like, she'll say things like, "Hey, did you talk to the guy about that guy?" You know, and it's because guy is this sort of catch-all phrase, this catch-all term in our relationship. She actually said this just the other day. We were driving along, and she goes, "Don't forget, the guy needs to do that thing for the guy." And then she just kept on driving, and I said, "What?" And she went, "You know, the guy with the guy and the thing." And it's just, and I actually had to clarify for her. I think that she thought I was just fooling, that I was being deliberately obtuse or something. Okay, quit typing this. Sean Levy is not a beetard. Here's Don
no,
Taylor.
He's not.
No, he's not. That's just...
You're a beetard.
That's right. Your mom's a beetard.
Yeah.
By the way, somebody just says, "I like it when Don Taylor talks about sexual things."
Okay.
That wasn't me, by the way. That was somebody
not
on the...
Not creepy
thing.
At all.
No.
No.
It's kind of flattering. It's nice.
It's nice to be welcomed back by people.
Open arms.
Yes. Let's do our science news.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com. That is SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can also call them if you like. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. Good enough to wire Aaron Duran's condominium. Mm-hmm. Good enough for whatever job you might have. And as Aaron Duran will tell you, and as I think he did say on the Facebook page, for Squires Electric, it's like the only place in his condo that hasn't actually fallen apart or just caught on fire or just stopped working at some point. So,
and he is a man, I would imagine, has a lot of electrical demands.
That's right. No, it's he is a... if you go into his house and it's nothing but just things plugged into other things and things that bleak and boop and bonk and spin and, you know, turn and, you know, shriek. So, yeah, if you go into his... You're going to see a lot of things that require electrical power, and there are a lot of things that require internet access or a combination of the above two. And so Squires Electric wired the entire place. Now it works properly. Good enough to wire the studios of the Emerson News Network as well. So you want to contact them at 503-252-1609 or SquiresElectric.com. That is Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. Proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
On the heels of some high-profile hacks, including one at Lockheed Martin, a terse exchange between Google and China following a Gmail breach, and the U.S. Department of Defense declaring that cyber attacks can be considered an act of war, NATO has now said it will develop a special cyber force. It's even getting an interesting name. They're going to call it Cyber Red Team.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Although that sounds like they would be like have lasers and guns and army guys. Actually, they're just going to simulate threats to manage readiness and response and then probe networks for security vulnerabilities and assess damage of possible attacks.
So Matthew Lillard doesn't need to suit up for this right now or anything.
They could also carry out the occasional denial of service attack if they wanted to like stop someone from doing something. So basically they're going to be a reactive force than a proactive force. They're
well,
not going to be
bad.
I know. Which they'd be like, you know, meeting out punishment.
Seriously,
to
evildoers.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, not really. They're just going to be a bunch of geeks sitting around, you know, mining data.
Don't you think there should be some service you can hire just to punish trolls from message boards? Like a troll be gone?
Oh, I think so.
You know, where you can just, you know, and it would be a little pricey, but I mean, you'd be willing to pay for it. Where it's just some dick that just won't shut his virtual mouth. And you just hire, you know, Cyber Force 5 or whatever they're called, and then they
or
Thomas Gill, and they just do what needs to be done. They just take out the trash.
Say, just give me his IP address. I'll take care of the rest.
By the way, Frank Keelan says, effing Cyber Force. Every person on that decision-making board is over 50. You just know it.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, is cyber a word that people use much? Unless they're talking about like some sort of a robot death machine?
Yeah, no.
No, it's not. Okay.
Trying to get the rest of us jealous, Apple guru Steve Jobs unveiled his plans this week for what he says may be the best office building in the world.
Jerk.
Like everything else about Jobs and his company, the plans for the new structure are far from ordinary. Hosting 12,000 people in one building, it will look like a landed spaceship and will use one massive piece of curved glass.
It looks like the, you know what it looks like? It looks like the ship from the cover of the first Boston album that's like taking off in the outer space. It looks exactly like that.
Jobs told the City Council of Cupertino, California, we've seen these office parks with lots of buildings, and they get pretty boring pretty fast, so we'd like to do something better than that. The building will have its own power grid, a cafeteria to feed 3,000 people in one sitting, and an auditorium similar to Apple's Town Hall on its main campus. The circular four-story building will enclose a 150-acre landscaped interior courtyard, native plants, trees, 6,000 trees, and apricot orchards will grace the interior landscape of the 150-acre...
of Apollonia.
...landscaped interior courtyard.
I'm seriously, would it actually surprise you if once they got this done and covered and it was like, you know, sort of its own dome city, that it just lifted off and just began circling the Earth in geosynchronous orbit?
Like, and it starts putting in these things. What are those? Oh, those are the laser cannons.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's... that's got to be the next logical step.
I don't think the city council approved the laser... Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's on page 38 of the writer.
Yeah.
Apple bought the land from Hewlett-Packard, interestingly, where Jobs got his first summer job.
Excellent.
Apple's current campus fits about 2,800 people, and the company rents buildings to house an additional 6,700 employees in the area, which means that Jobs is actually looking at a 40% increase in Apple employees, from 9,500 to 13,000. Apple is hoping to move into the campus in 2015. And then... you know, we'll take off and go to wherever Zerbes lives.
I'm all for that.
Enslave him.
I feel like one of those people in Independence Day. I'm just going to be standing on top of a building with a sign going, take me with you!
British scientists have managed to transform a type of stem-like cell in adult mouse hearts into functioning heart muscle in research proving the heart has dormant repair cells that can be reactivated. Although the research is yet to be translated into humans and is in its very early stages, the results suggest that in the future, a drug could be developed to prompt and prime hearts damaged by cardiac arrest into repairing themselves. Paul Riley of University College of London said, I could envisage a patient known to be at risk of a heart attack taking an oral tablet, which would prime their heart so that if they had a heart attack, the damage would repair itself.
So it's just a pill that tells your heart, by the way, if anything should go wrong, just fix it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. Apparently, if enough dead tissue forms in a heart, you can develop heart failure. Scientists have been looking for ways to regenerate heart tissue. And because for now, all you can do is like get mechanical devices or a transplant or something. So now they're doing this whole thing where they're monkeying around with stem cells in a mouse heart and have found mice that their hearts can fix themselves.
Well, all right then.
Alternative vehicles are still alternative, in part because fuel cell and battery technologies have many hills to climb. A group of MIT researchers thinks they can pave the way. They recently combined the strongest aspects of traditional batteries and fuel cells to create a new kind of battery. Yet-Ming Chang, a professor of material science and engineering at MIT, said, "It's a flowing electrode that's electrically conductive all of the time. The battery is similar to flow batteries that have been in existence for decades. However, unlike the low-energy batteries of the past, the new battery has a semi-solid flow system that relies on the flow, a flow of concentrated, energy-dense suspension of particles dubbed Cambridge crude. Basically, it's a battery that uses some kind of conductive goo to keep it running."
Well, really, honestly, what doesn't use conductive goo?
It allows a larger percentage of the battery to store energy. Chang said, "We can go directly from the electrodes and entirely bypass the cell-making part."
I have no idea what any of this means. I just assume this is MIT?
Yes.
All right. I just assume it's a thing that I could never understand, regardless of how much time I spent studying it or what brain power I devoted to it.
Well, to kind of dumb it down for people like you and I, he says it will be cheaper because the structure is simpler to manufacture. It reduces the expense of components, and he explains it, "We can produce the flowing electrode goo in a mixing operation and then simply use them to fill a device that's basically bolted together."
Okay. Well, I'm sure that'll make my life better, worse, in the immediate, distant future.
Well, it would be, if it really works, it's a smaller, cheaper battery that could actually be used to operate things like electric vehicles.
Okay.
So instead of carrying a great big giant battery around like electric vehicles have to now, you could have much smaller, lighter, and much cheaper batteries that run basically forever because they are filled with conductive goo.
As long as it means that I no longer have to buy AA batteries in packages of like 70 to avoid paying $12 each for them. That's really all I care about. By the way, attention, Scott Daly, I've got two of your AA rechargeable batteries at my house. They've been there for like a year.
All right. That's all the science.
All right, there you go. There's your Science in the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. That's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609 or facebook.com/Squires Electric. You can also find out more about them at squireselectric.com. They are the proud sponsors of your Science on the March. All right. Rechargeable batteries always seem like a really, really good idea, and then you just inevitably lose them. And then you have to go back to the store, and then you're faced with that thing of like, well, do I buy two for $12 or do I buy, you know, like 15 of them, you know, for like $22? And you can never figure out what the best deal actually is. Batteries make me angry. I don't know why. They just do. Doesn't it seem like we should be at a point where like stuff just works off, I don't know, like it just works off the electricity conducted by my hand?
Yeah.
You know, that like when I pick up the remote, or that I can just pick up the remote control and just shake it for a second? Because you only need the remote control for like 12 seconds at a time anyway. It's not like the thing has to work for hours.
And also, why can't I just, you know, and I guess there probably do exist, the ones that have the long-term batteries on them like cell phones have, but most of them don't. So why, but, you know, I always wonder that why I've got the cell phone and it has the battery that's good for X number of hours. I can just shut it down entirely and it's not using any juice while I've got it shut down entirely. Why couldn't I do that with my remote control?
Or they could sell the thing with the remote control that it's like our friend Rick showed us, as you know, the pad where you just set it down and it just charges while it's sitting on the pad, on your coffee
table. I've got a $17 bathroom scale that apparently has a battery in it that will work for like 50 years.
Yeah, no, I've got that same scale actually. And yet I've never had to change it, not once.
Yeah.
So, and yet the remote control just going dead, which is, and the thing about the remote control is even if you're channel surfing for like, you know, 10 minutes, it's like, it only has to work for like a billionth of a second as it sends the up one channel signal or whatever, you know? Or like when you send mute, it's like, you know, the entire time the TV's muted, it's not like the remote is still on at that point. Doesn't make any sense at all. The whole thing is just, it's a bunch of goddamn nonsense is what it is.
Yes.
All right. There you go.
I agree.
You're listening to Legion of Doos here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show is next hour at rickemersonshow.com with a Snuffwatch, Clownwatch, Top 5, and more. Still to come this hour, your entertainment news. And you can get this program later on the day via a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Republican presidential candidate Tim Pawlenty outlined his plan to help the nation's economy grow and slammed President Obama for his fiscal policies during a speech in Chicago yesterday. The former two-time Minnesota governor called for cuts in several tax rates. He says the 5% of the nation is creating jobs, and if that 5% is taxed too much, the entire country will go downhill.
If that 5% becomes 6, 7, 8, or 9%, we've got a very bright future. And if that 5% becomes 4, 3, 2, or 1%, we're in deep doo-doo. We are in deep crap.
I was just—I was still trying to figure out whether we wanted to go up or down with a percent because I couldn't quite track that. But then he completely lost me and everybody else when he referred to the country as being in deep doo doo.
Now, this 5% of the nation that he says are creating jobs—is this the 5% that we're being told control 42% of the wealth?
I don't know. I'm honestly unsure about that. I feel like I need some sort of a graph or a visual aid or a chart.
Pawlenty claimed the president is distracting the nation by turning Americans against each other.
Now, America, as you know, is facing grave challenges. And when times get tough, some politicians try to turn the American people against one another. Regrettably, President Obama is a champion practitioner of class warfare.
Really?
Okay, then. I feel like I need some sort of feel like I need some sort of patriotic music to play underneath that because he's got that. He's got
now
the,
America, as you know, is facing grave challenges, and when times get tough,
you can tell right there that when he's giving the speech, he actually hears like Aaron Copland music playing in his head.
Yeah. It actually reminds me of the time that my mother told me that that Martin Luther King Jr. had been a bad man. Because
it's a rabble rouser.
Because he incited black people to violence and wanted them to rise up against the white people.
Well, you know, but I mean, really.
And I kind of cocked my head to one side like a dog and went, well, where do you hear these things? Where do these things come from?
A circular at church.
No, I think what it is that she would sit in a bar and talk about politics with her other drunk friends. And then it would just all become this sort of weird, drunken, conservative morass of nonsense in her head that she would insist was fact. So she would probably be on board with that whole Obama is an expert at class warfare thing.
By the way, you know, 40% of 40% of Republicans apparently still think he was born somewhere else, by the way. Saw that the other day.
That's
awesome.
Nice.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. This is Don Taylor.
A new Tennessee law makes it a crime to transmit or display an image online that is likely to frighten, intimidate, or cause emotional distress to someone who sees it. Violations can get you almost a year in jail time or up to $2,500 in fines.
Coatsy!
The Tennessee legislature has been busy updating its laws for the internet age, but not always for the better. Last week, it was reported that a bill updated Tennessee's theft of service laws to include, quote, subscription entertainment services, you know, like Netflix.
Oh, this is that you can't share your Netflix password.
No.
Yeah.
The ban on distressing images was signed by Governor Bill Haslam last week. It's also an update to existing law. Tennessee law already made it a crime to make phone calls, send emails, and otherwise communicate directly with someone in a manner that the sender, quote, reasonably should know would cause emotional distress to the recipient. If the communication lacked a legitimate purpose, the sender could face jail time. This new legislation adds images to the list of communications, but for image postings, the emotionally distressed individual need not be the intended recipient. Anyone who sees an image that, you know, bothers them is a potential victim, and if a court decided you just should have known that that would be upsetting to someone, you could potentially face months in prison and thousands of dollars in jail time.
And this is Kentucky?
This is Tennessee.
Tennessee. Well, I mean, I think we all know what we're talking about here when I say that it seems like Tennessee has a history of displaying images or, you know, flags or, you know, people hanging from things that were, you know, designed for the sole purpose. I'm just saying there's a long and storied history in Tennessee of the populace using imagery to unnerve and frighten other individuals. So one could argue that I guess that at least they kind of know what they're talking about there.
Well, a constitutional scholar named Eugene Volokh said that the law doesn't require that the picture be of the victim, nor would the government need to prove that you were the intended recipient of the image. And he says the bill is, quote, pretty clearly unconstitutional.
Like if you were just sort of, so if you're just like flipping through like a message board on FARC or something and you happen across, I don't know, you happen across that weird photo that circulates of where like a guy's face has been morphed onto a dog's face, you know, and it's,
yeah,
and it looks like the dog is smiling at you with a creepy sort of grin. And you just found that it wrecked the rest of your day, and you were no longer able to perform as a man. Then you could seek some sort of punitive damages.
Well, and I'm freaked out by scary clowns. If I went to some guy had put a scary clown picture on his site, and I found that distressing. I could, according to this law, like file charges against him.
You know, can I just tell you this? This is probably something I should hit for next hour, but I'll just tell you this because it has to do with scary clowns. So I don't know if you've ever seen the wallpaper on Cheryl Kanakoa's cell phone. But, you know, it's like you have this, like, a sort of a screensaver image, and it's, you know, or it's not even a screensaver image. It's like the background. I guess it is like the desktop wallpaper. It's like anything that happens on her phone, there's this background image. And the background image is one of the most terrifying clown pictures I've ever seen in my life. And, I mean, that really is saying something. And I don't, she was never, I've asked her point blank about this several times, like, why would you have that as your background image? And she never really has any sort of reason for it. There's no explanation given. But I sent her a text at, like, as last week, I sent her a text at like 3 in the morning because I was awake and I was doing something or other. And I just sort of, I mean, reasonably, I think, assumed that she would be asleep. And if she was asleep, that she would have the phone turned off or on silent or something, because that's what I do. If I'm going to bed, I mean, I take the phone with me because it's my alarm clock, but I also have it on silent. So I saw something online. I was like, hey, did we do the thing about the, you know, the whatever? And I sent her a text about it. And then she immediately texted me back. She's like, why in the name of Christ are you texting me at 3 in the morning? And I said, and I responded back, I said, sorry, I figured that you would be asleep and that if you were, that the phone would be turned off. But apparently, she had forgotten somehow in like this deep sleep that the scary clown photo was the wallpaper on her cell phone. Her cell phone was propped up against her alarm clock as such that it filled her field of vision when she opened her eyes. So all she heard was like this ba-bang sound at 3 in the morning. She opened it and like her entire... the entire spectrum of her vision was open. It was filled with this picture of an evil clown.
Well, she just set herself up for that, didn't she?
That's what
she?
I'm saying. And then she, and then so when we were at Keelan's release party, she spent like 10 minutes claiming that there was no way that her phone could actually have the ringer turned off, that it was not a functionality that her phone had. And David Walker, who's like 100 years old, by the way, was able to finally do it and to show her that her phone had like, she apparently was completely oblivious to the fact that her phone had a volume off setting. So,
Cheryl,
I'm just saying. I mean, just that's just a little thing you can have in your back pocket next time you talk to her.
An Alberta, Canada man facing a deadline to close his private zoo has decided to call his property a place of worship in hopes that the designation will help him keep his animals. Guzu Animal Farm owner Lynn Gustafson started calling his property near Three Hills a parsonage and has declared his hundreds of exotic and domestic animals as having found sanctuary. The designation means, according to Gustafson, that his animals are protected under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. He said, "We are kind of looking after God's creatures, so I guess we are kind of the same as we've always been, a sanctuary." Gustafson has 400 animals, including tigers, a New Guinea singing dog, a lynx, and a baboon. The move doesn't impress ZooCheck Canada's Julie Woodger, who said Gustafson is trying to stall the removal of his exotic animals. She said, "He, of course, can be a church if he wants to be a church, but it does not preclude him from following the laws of the province or the country." Early this month, provincial officials declared Guzu deficient in, quote, all the categories of zoo operations.
Does it say what sort of animals are at the Guzu?
Well, they did say he has 400 animals, including tigers, a lynx, a baboon, and a New Guinea singing dog.
Please to explain.
I have no idea what that is. I imagine it's probably like a hyena, in just in my head, but I literally have no idea what a New Guinea singing dog is.
I mean, you almost have to admire a guy who's able to somehow obtain all those animals when they're all apparently illegal. I mean, where was, I mean, is there just like a catalog from which you can order a lion and they'll just deliver it to your house?
Well, I guess, you know, you can open a zoo, but you still have to maintain your zoo.
Oh, I see.
According to zoo standards.
All right.
And his zoo's operating license could be revoked. And then he would have no choice but to, like, put down the animals.
Can't be a thing you're just running, like, in the common area of your apartment building.
No. No, you also could, I'm assuming you could start a zoo. And they could come in and they go, yes, this is a fine zoo. And then just keep cramming more and more animals in there and don't clean them up. And then somebody would come in and say, I'm sorry, this zoo is not any good anymore.
You know what somebody should do is, you know, as a sort of performance art piece here in Portland, somebody got to have like a Portland zoo. But instead of animals, it would just have like types of Portland people. And you could just, I mean, you could do it at some sort of a, you know, there's a lot of empty buildings around here now that are actually being used, that are being donated. I found this out the other day. A lot of empty buildings are being donated by businesses to local artists as either galleries or performance art spaces until they can actually find business owners. So there ought to be somebody who just sets up a zoo, and then you would just, you know, you would just quantify or, you know, you know, identify 15 or 20 different types of Portlanders, and then you would have them in their native habitat. sort of just sitting there in that sort of space, you know, like in a,
so
in
have
a
little space, and it looks like a Pearl District condo.
Exactly.
You have your Pearl District person. Next, you could have like your Southeast Belmont hipster.
And then you got your guy in Lentz stabbing somebody in the eye.
Yeah.
And he would just, that's the sort of thing I'm telling you right now.
Another one, Art Elisakis lying face down drunk.
If somebody, I mean, if there's some artist, I'm looking at you, Chris Haberman, who wants to get a little little press, a little ink on something. That's something you could do right now, and that would not only get, telling you, that would not only get local attention and probably cause some amount of controversy and polarization. That would get, I would bet that would get national press as well.
Got one. It's just Byron Beck talking about celebrities, and if you're a lady, he'll walk up and grab your boobs,
grab your breasts. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday, June 9th, 2011, Cascadia.fm.
Shania Twain has landed a residency at Caesars Palace's Coliseum showroom as her show Still the One opens December 1st, 2012. I will let my imagination run wild, said Twain at a press conference. I'm going to go nuts creatively.
I wish you would just actually go nuts. That's a thing that I would buy a ticket for.
I wish you would just, I wish you literally meant that.
Like if she was just shaving her head and then setting her toes on fire.
She just went completely like Lady Gaga, only she's Shania Twain.
Yeah.
And just started, you know, wearing meat and setting off fireworks from her own boobs.
Just whizzing herself on stage.
Yeah, throwing razor blades at the audience.
That'd be awesome. Shania Twain goes nuts. Two shows a night.
Opening up a cage full of, you know, ferrets and letting it loose in the audience.
That'd be great.
Singers Jason Mraz and Tristan Prettyman have broken off their engagement. We are still super friends. We go to yoga together. We surf together, said Mraz to the Daily Beast.
We fly around and fight crime, apparently.
We acknowledge the journey that each of us is on. We certainly want each of us to feel whole and complete. And it's when you're whole and complete that attraction exists and it really thrives.
Okay. You know, that guy, even his press releases are pussy sounding.
I know. What's wrong with him? Rapper actor Ja Rule began his 2-year sentence for gun possession in New York. According to the New York Post, Rule signed autographs for fans during his Wednesday sentencing and said, see you in 18, because he expects to be released early for good behavior. Glee actor Chris Colfer has inked a 2-book deal with Little Brown Books for young readers. His first book, titled The Land of Stories, centers on the adventures of twins. When I was 10 years old, I promised myself that if I ever had the opportunity to write this book, I would jump at the chance, said Colfer in a statement. This book has been at the core of my imagination for a long time, and I'm excited and nervous to share it. The Land of Stories is set for a summer 2012 release.
Excellent.
Friday Night Lights actor Kyle Chandler stars in the movie Super 8. The picture, which is a slight homage to Steven Spielberg's earlier body of work, is produced by Spielberg. Chandler compares Super 8 to a typical Steven Spielberg picture.
The movie has a little bit of everything. So at the end, you're going to sit and say, wow, I wish that lasted a little bit longer. I enjoyed that. Which is the same thing I said, I think, probably with every Spielberg movie I've ever seen. I wish that lasted a little bit longer.
I wish there was a version of 1941 that was 7 hours long. I wish it just went on and on and on forever.
I wish Amistad was 20 hours long.
I was going to go Amistad, but I didn't know whether that was better than 1941 or not, but I'm glad that we've got the whole thing covered between us. Excellent. Wonderful.
Actor Chris Evans, who will be seen as Captain America, the first Avenger, told E! Online that he's losing his hair. He said, My fear is that Captain America can span 10 years, so I can be doing this character until I'm 40. I'm supposed to be like this superior human being. He can't be balding. How horrible would it be if this superior man has male pattern baldness?
Now, what is he? I don't know offhand if I even know what he looks like. Is he? Is he a pretty boy?
Yeah. He's a generically handsome guy.
Yeah, see, because then he can't shave his head. He can't do like a chickless.
He's,
you know?
Honest to God, he is one of those guys that you would see him on the street and you would go, wow, he's very handsome. Maybe he's an actor.
And then immediately forget about
him. Yeah, you would have no, you would have no idea what his name is.
Hey, by the way, I was going to Google a picture of him right now, but I got to tell you, I just went to Google News because that's just like my default, my homepage. This has nothing to do with anything relating to Captain America. I just went to Google News to look up a picture of the Captain America guy, which I'll do in a second. And the first headline is just, Gingrich advisors resign en masse.
Ooh, wow.
That's exciting. All right, what is his name?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
And you might want to just also say Captain America, because I can't imagine his name as generic as he is.
No, I see exactly what you're talking about. I mean, there's nothing distinct about this guy whatsoever.
No, he's just the one of a thousand Blandy McHansoms that show up, you know, in action films.
He's like if you took all of the sort of attractive parts of like Brad Pitt or like Colin Farrell, but then just filed them down to where they were just blunted off and had nothing distinguishing about them whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Finally, actress Gabrielle Union is supporting the Rihanna music video Man Down, which shows the singer shooting a man who sexually assaults her. On her Twitter account, Union tweeted that she was raped when she was 19. She said, "A stranger who robbed the store I worked at, he put his gun down during the rape and asked me to hand it to him." She said she tried to shoot the rapist, but missed. "Over the years, I realized that killing my rapist would have added insult to injury."
For whom?
I don't know. "The desire to kill someone who has abused/raped you is understandable, but unless it's self-defense in the moment to save your life, it just adds to your troubles." So it's one of those things where she said, "You probably shouldn't go shooting rapists, but I understand why you would."
You should totally shoot rapists. Yeah. I mean, really, honestly, who cares? F those guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. That's Rick Emerson saying that. Shoot away.
And I kind of think it still counts as self-defense if, like, the guy, you know, has raped you and then, like, put his gun down and wants you to hand it to him.
Oh, yeah, no. Totally.
Like, that's just because the penis has been put away doesn't mean you're not still in the process of being assaulted.
That's where the universe is asking you to do it a favor and just to handle something for it. So, by the way, here's the thing about the Rihanna video. I mean, leaving all of this business aside, the video itself is not terribly interesting, and the song even less so. And that's the only... I sat and watched it with Greg and Sarah the other day, and it's like the video is clearly... My read on it would be that the video is one of those things that they've had just sitting around as an idea for her ever since Chris Brown decided to wail on her a couple years ago. And they've been waiting just for the right song to use for it. And they finally found a song that is so uninteresting that no one will pay attention to it otherwise. And they went, okay. And it's like, break glass in case of uninteresting single. Let's do that thing where she shoots a guy who blackens her eyes. I mean, that is, oh my God. Also, speaking of just stuff that's weird, have you seen the new Katy Perry video?
No.
Oh my God. It's just... It's like the polar twin of that Red Fang video for like $5,000. They made the best thing that anybody's seen in like years. But the Katy Perry video cost, I mean, it must have just cost untold millions of dollars, and it's just terrible. It's terrible. It's so bad. It's like mind-bendingly bad. It's like you know those like day glow posters that like you color yourself with a series of markers? It's like you would get them. It's like a black and white sort of fuzzy poster, and then you color it, and then you turn on it like a black light, and then they sort of glow. And they're always with sort of like pixies like on the leaves of oversized rose bushes, while like, you know, like a unicorn runs down a rainbow, and then there's a tiger like lurking in the background. That's exactly what it is, but it's animated and it has Katy Perry, and then Kanye West shows up for like 5 seconds in the middle and talks about ejaculating rockets or something.
What?
It's so bad. It's just...
What?
It really is. It's astonishingly bad. It's almost worth watching just for that, like once. Mm. So just FYI.
I have a question for you real quick.
Yes.
Is she talented at all?
No.
Okay.
Wait, who? Katy Perry?
Yeah.
Well...
Because, I mean, she's a nice-looking woman.
Not as much as I can...
But I...
Not so far as I can tell.
Yeah.
I mean, at what? I don't know she would...
Because, I mean, if you held a gun to my head, I couldn't actually, like, hum you one of her songs or anything.
Yeah, no. She makes almost no impact on me whatsoever. I mean, the thing about Katy Perry's songs is they're kind of catchy, and then they're cloying, and then they get stuck in your head, and then they make you angry, and then you forget about them. That's like the 4-stage life cycle of all of her recordings.
And then if you're me, you remember that she's having sex with Russell Brand, and you kind of go, ooh.
Is that true?
And you want to take a shower. They're married, yes.
Oh, that's right. I always forget about that.
Yeah. And I find him quite hilarious, but the idea of being touched
letting his
by him
penis anywhere near you?
Yeah, is just... disturbing.
Yeah, no.
There's not enough antibacterial ointment in the world.
That's my thing. It's like, I'd make that guy just give himself such a scrubbing before he did anything. Yeah. We got like 45 seconds
here. Okay. Police said a Coralville, Iowa man damaged approximately $2,200 worth of his girlfriend's property after she interfered in another one of his relationships. Police responded at 4 a.m. for a property damage report. The victim said her live-in boyfriend damaged her property. The woman told police Kendall was angry because she interfered with his relationship. Police said Kendall used a knife to cut up about 25 articles of clothing that the woman owned and urinated on her bed and her computer. Kendall also allegedly emptied the woman's purse into a grill along with 20 photos and lit them on fire. He was arrested Tuesday and charged with second-degree criminal mischief. We do actually have a mugshot of him, so if you want, we can post that at Rick Emerson
revisit
slash
that,
pictures.
Next hour, so we can do that. And wait. Excellent. There we go. And with that, we bring the curtain down on another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. I've got some sort of goo all over my hand.
Is it conductive goo?
Yes, yes, it is. Oh, my God.
You could run your car with that.
Well, what the... Sweet Christ, where the... All right.
What were you thinking about?
I don't know. There's some sort of...
Something going on over there that not... I don't want to know.
Just avert your eyes. Hello. Coming
apparently
up next hour,
that listener is not the only one who likes it when I talk sexy.
Coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, we have Snuffwatch, Clownwatch, and the Top 5. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milk Packing District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. We will see you tomorrow, Friday at noon, for Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Thursday, won't you?